On the Claire's Matt and Kimber catch-up, we asked you when you've damaged the work car. We chatted to American comedian Joel McHale, and it turns out rich people aren't picking up after their dogs.
How dare they?
Ew.
Claire's Matt and Kimber on your computer. Gosh, how high-tech. Enjoy this podcast. Everything Perth.
Funny man Joel McHale is so much more than that. A versatile man who's done 12 seasons of the comic news recap show, The Soup, and acting roles at least in the likes of Community and the reboot on TV, The X-Files. I'll get talking and we'll get him on here and not waste any more time. He's coming to the Regal Theatre in September. Joel McHale, good to hear your voice, mate.
Nice to talk to you. I can't wait to get to your city.
Joel, you're a jack of all trades and a master of a bunch of them, writer, producer and actor. Are your days just packed with creativity? Are you always jotting down scenes and ideas?
Well, today we have dinner guests over, so I spent a good half an hour cleaning up dog do or dog poo.
Glamorous.
Property. That was half an hour. And then yesterday, our kids had some friends over, and one of them had a big old accident outside the toilet. So that was also a thrill.
That's more of a mess than the dogs.
I apologize for starting off with this for the subject matter for the people of Perth who are like, oh, maybe I don't want to go to that show.
Oh no! Let's set the bar low, and we can work up from here. We'll crescendo in about 4 minutes. Oh, Joel,
don't worry, they've worked up their breakfast.
Yeah.
Now, Joel, if I can believe the internet, you were born in Rome, and I'm wondering, do you speak Italian, and have you ever performed your stand-up sets in Italy?
I'm very popular in Italy, just like Clooney. No, I don't speak Italian, and I've never performed there.
Okay,
so that is pretty depressing. That is very depressing how you laid that out for me. No, it's great. No, so my brothers and I were all born there. And my parents lived there at the time, and I have family that still live there, and they look like me, so very, very Italian.
Yeah, so you don't own a property on Lake Como Clooney style. There's nothing wrong with that.
No, I couldn't even afford a dinghy.
Yeah, it's an expensive dinghy town. Mate, I just want to know, I've just come back from London doing National Lampoon, so every time I drove around I went, hey kids, there's Big Ben. What was it like, and I speak of Chevy Chase, what was it like walking onto the set the very first time and meeting Chevy for Community?
Yeah, I mean, he's a little nuts, but he was really funny on the show. When that show would air, he was always very funny. But you know, I know he's got a reputation, and he could be terrific. And other times he could definitely slow things down because he's like, I don't want to be here, and I'm like, I don't blame you, but let's try and get this done.
Right. Oh, thanks for your honesty. Yeah, it's good.
Well, there are plenty of times we see comedians and they make it look easy, and then sometimes you'll just be hanging out with your friends and you can find a particular person very funny. Do you ever inspire other people to get up and give it a go themselves?
Oh, yeah. I'm inspiring my children especially. They love it when I yell at them to wake up and get out of bed. They adore me. Boy, do I inspire. I don't know. The letters aren't flooding in yet. They will. I hope so. I hope people aspire to be on basic cable and a barely watched network show. Someday, I hope.
Mate, I always love your style of delivery on Soup. And as you know, I mean, you're a naughty boy. And at times when you would use innuendo and you would use sarcasm and the rest of it, did it ever sort of like you got so good at it, did it ever sort of blend into your personal life? You get upset and go, you've got to switch off, Joel.
Oh, well, it was part of my personal life ever before I was ever on basic cable here in America.
Yeah.
I remember arguing with my mom. I think I was like 14.
Yep.
Or 13. And my mom screamed, I can't ever tell. I can't tell if you're being serious. And I remember yelling back, I don't know either. And I've always been this way. And thank God my wife agreed to marry me. And she took pity on me and married me because she doesn't take any of my crap and hardly laughs at any of my jokes. So she's the toughest audience that I have. So it's really good because it makes me work harder. for her love.
Hey, man, good to catch up and all the best, and we'll see you here in September. Tickets are on sale now.
Can't wait to see you guys. Thank you so much for the interview.
If you want to see Joel McHale, tickets went on sale just a few weeks ago, tickettech.com.au, and he's playing the Regal Theatre on Monday, September 18.
I like him.
Hard to believe. And that soup, you know, like some of the times you go, you've crossed the line, but geez, that's funny.
Clarzy, Matt and Kimber, weekdays from 6 a.m. on Mix 94.5.
Guys, of course, Block Block Who's There is back with a chance at sharing in $50,000, another $10,000 winner to happen this week.
Yes, this Friday we could be knocking on your door.
That's true.
Yeah, or coming to your workplace.
Oh, so cool. We gave away some money last week, and there's more fun to be had at 8 this morning. But when we did do that last week, we went for a bit of a drive together in the Mix 94.5 promotional vehicle.
The work car.
Yes.
On our way back, we won't say where, but we'll just say we were sitting in traffic.
We were.
Somewhere in the northern suburbs.
Mm-hmm.
And as the three of us experienced exactly the same time, thinking that the person who was driving us had maybe stalled the car, but then realising, oh, this is an automatic, that's not a stall. And we all took a bit of a jolt.
Yes.
Only not airbag release kind of worthy.
No.
But then it dawned on us that someone had hit us from behind.
Yeah.
And we all swung around to look at a young man and his partner with a look on their face that was a, oh dear, I've just hit the mixed car look.
Yeah, it was an embarrassed look.
Yeah.
Of all the cars you hit, you go, I don't want to hit the radio station car.
No, yeah, the radio car or a police car or a Lamborghini.
Yeah, carrying the breakfast crew who are currently planning Monday's meeting. You don't want it. Yeah.
Is that what we were doing?
Monday's show.
They were very sweet. They were very sweet and they felt bad and embarrassed. But
actually, the guy who was driving his partner had kept her head down the whole time through. Yeah. Although, because she was embarrassed, you know?
Yeah, but I think at least that, you know, when we came back to work and said, hey, there was a bit of an accident with the work car, it wasn't our fault.
No.
True.
Because the thing is that when it's your fault and it's the work car, you just feel, it changes everything. I remember I got a job with a radio station in Melbourne, right, doing breakfast, and because I didn't have anything over there, they flew me over. I didn't have a car or anything yet. And so they said, you can drive the work car for the first 2 weeks.
Right.
3 days into the job. 3 days in, and one morning I just wasn't concentrating, and instead of putting the car into reverse, I put it into drive and I drove it into a limestone wall.
Really?
Yeah, I just went, that was it. I just straight forward into the wall. And I went to work and I showed one of the other girls and said, do you think I should admit to doing this? And she looked at it and went, I don't reckon it's bad enough and I don't think anyone will notice. So we never said a thing.
Really?
No.
Oh,
I mean,
really?
I consulted
ever.
Her.
No
I consulted
one
her
know.
And she said, I don't think anyone's going to notice, and no one said anything. So life as usual, break the work car.
I can beat that because my first job out after I left Cannington High was with the national broadcaster.
Oh, ABC.
As the mail boy, internal mail boy. But occasionally they'd give me little excursions and they got a fleet of brand new vehicles, right? And I was given a job to take something somewhere. I was on P plates. So I remember putting my P plates up in the car and I drove the car and I'd obviously driven it with the handbrake on. And I don't know how I was able to, I mean, I obviously
they still drive.
Oh, geez, that's got much grunt. Not that I would have known. And I stopped, obviously thinking something was amiss. And all of this green fluid, which I'm assuming is brake fluid, was coming out of the wheels.
Oh, dear.
I was the first person to drive this vehicle.
And maybe the last.
And I had to go to my boss with my little tie and my little ABC shirt on and my little beeper. I had a beeper. And went, I think I've ruined the car.
See, that one, as opposed to Kimber's, you could have probably gotten away with and just gone, something's not right with the car.
Yeah.
Until they saw the damage that you did to the handbrake.
I'd been there long enough for them to know that it was me.
Oh, dear.
But we're not the only ones.
No,
true.
Definitely not. Give us a call. Tell us if it's been a real doozy. 133353 is our number. Tell us how you damaged the work car.
When did you break the work car?
The caller of the day gets $150 to spend at Wembley Golf Course, and Wembley don't want you to destroy their golf carts. Okay, so be careful. Two of Perth's best public golf courses in one location, and there's even mini golf.
Yeah, visit wembleygolf.com.au for more details.
133353, how did you damage the work car?
You might be driving it this morning. We don't mean to create another pressure test. So good luck.
The next billion seconds are the most important in human history as technology transforms the way we live and work. The smartphone, barely a decade old, has given billions access to information and capacities they've never had before. It's changing what we can do, and it's changing the shape of the future. So what does that future look like? Hi, I'm Mark Pesce, the host of The Next Billion Seconds, a new show on Podcast One. Join me as I speak to some of the brightest minds shaping that world, the people who are spending their lives forming that future. We'll hear about their work in helping shape those next billion seconds. Listen at podcastone.com.au or on the Podcast One app.
Last Friday, someone entrusted us with the work car. Hey, the damage wasn't quite that bad, but someone did drive into the back of us whilst we were sitting in traffic in the northern suburbs.
We had a bingle.
But we are grateful that it was someone who hit us and not us ruining the work
True.
Car.
True,
yes.
Andrew in Secret Harbour, have you damaged the work car?
It was actually a work truck, and I was driving, had my window open, and a magpie flew onto the steering wheel and was flapping around. So I think a normal reaction was I forgot I was driving a truck and decided just trying to get this magpie off the steering wheel and mounted the curb, and my passenger luckily realised I was lost control, grabbed the wheel, which made me mentally go, oh, shit, I'm out of control.
Yeah.
grabbed the wheel, but I smashed the side mirror and scraped the door. Luckily, otherwise, would have went straight into the telephone pole and possibly killed my passenger.
Oh,
but,
my goodness.
We managed to pull over and get the magpie out, and he flew off.
Oh, of course he did.
How big a truck, Andrew?
It wasn't a huge one, probably only a 15-ton.
Only 15 tonnes.
I'm glad you had someone with you, Andrew, because I can imagine trying to explain that to your boss or the magistrate. No, it was a magpie.
Well, that's right. That's what I said to the boss. Not my fault. Blame the magpie.
Wow, oh, lucky you're okay. Thanks, Andrew.
Would have been handy to have the dash cam for that proof, wouldn't it?
Yes, exactly.
Stacey's in Seville Grove. Stacey, how did was it your mum who ruined the work car?
Yeah, it was. So my dad had a work car every weekend. We used to take my mum's car up to 2J to do some horse riding lessons. Mm. Well, my dad was told that they weren't getting enough kilometres on his odometer, so we needed to drive the car a bit more often. So the next weekend, we took his work car up to 2J, and my mum hit a kangaroo.
Oh.
Yep, did a couple of $1,000 worth of damage, well, probably a bit more back then, but so.
And you've probably done that drive a million times to 2J and never hit anything, and then one time.
Yeah, pretty much. We were going up there every weekend for years.
Oh, we were just talking about that, actually, Stacey, hitting roos. It's a very dangerous thing, isn't it?
It is, yeah. We were lucky we weren't hurt and the kangaroo bounced off. We couldn't find it, but, yeah.
Oh, I'm sure he's fine.
He's still bouncing.
Yeah.
And then there's someone in the finance department who was still happy about the extra Ks because it worked out with the lease deal. Isn't that weird? He's not getting enough on the ode.
Yeah, they weren't too annoyed about it, luckily, so...
No, lucky indeed. Thanks, Stace.
Nice work, Stace. Let's go to Marangaroo. G'day, Tim.
G'day, how you doing?
Good, mate. Have you damaged the work vehicle?
Sadly, yes. Many years ago, when I was just a young pup, my first repping job, and I was heading over to my girlfriend's place for what you might call afternoon delight.
Sure.
There's not enough of it, Tim.
Well, there's absolutely not enough, absolutely. Anyway, so she lived on a main road, and her driveway had a bit of a hill. So I was so excited, I got out of the car without putting it in park.
Oh.
And the car rolled back over a four-lane highway into a tree, bending the back door of it right in like a V-shape. And I told work that I backed into a tree at a car park.
But you know what, Tim? It was still worth it.
Yeah, actually.
Well, no. The funny part was that I drove it back in the driveway and then locked my keys in the car. So I couldn't.
You were excited, weren't you?
Hey, Tim, everyone's wondering. Did you, you know what I'm going to ask?
Did you? Yeah, miss... I do. No, it didn't happen.
No afternoon delight.
Unfortunate.
Awesome.
Thanks, Timmy.
Hey, Russell's in Balladura. Russell, how did you damage the work car?
Oh, no, not only the work car, but the boss's work car.
Oh, dear.
Had his beautiful Land Cruiser, and I had to go and do a job for him, so he lent it to me, and I had to keep it overnight. And I got in the car to go to work. Crikey, left my lunch on the bench, went back inside, but like the last caller, it was a manual though, but I didn't put the handbrake on.
Yep.
Left the door open, it rolled down the driveway, hit my letterbox, bent the door around 180 degrees, and near on snapped it off.
Oh, no.
How was that sandwich?
It was Yeah, I had to tie it closed and drive to work and then beg the boss for forgiveness. It didn't go down well.
Well, I hope he got the sandwich. Well done.
Thanks, Russ.
All right, see you. Have a good day.
I don't know what our new boss drives. Anyone know what Gina drives?
No, no. Oh, well, I don't think she's going to be lending us the car.
No, I need to wash it.
Yeah.
Claire, Matt and Kimber, weekdays for breakfast on Mix 94.5.
Oh, do you know what brings me great joy?
What?
Taking my dog McGruff to the park for a run.
I bet it does.
Yeah.
You know what kills that joy?
What? Mm-hmm.
Dog turds.
Right, I was going to say rain.
Dog turds.
Okay.
People who don't pick up after their dogs
at
the park, in the street, wherever it is. Why? I don't understand what's going on.
Just
if
bag
you
it.
Do that, you're a rotter, really. I mean, there's absolutely no excuse for it. You are not too good to pick up your dog's poo.
You actually don't see many parks without the bags now, do you?
No, most parks have got the doggy bags. And also most leads, like my lead has a receptacle thing in it that holds the dog bag, so I'm never without.
Sure. Right.
Like, I don't understand. But today in the paper, inside cover, they had an inside cover operative. Who someone who went out and walked a bunch of parks.
Okay.
Went and had a lot of different parks, right?
Yep.
20 ovals over the metro area from Yanchep to Mosman Park.
Mm.
And this person has discovered that there is a direct correlation between unscooped poop and the affluence of a suburb.
Okay, in the richies think they're too good to pick it up or the other way around?
The richies aren't picking up dog poo.
Wow.
Could you imagine a person who didn't know what this person was up to going through their phone, seeing all the photos of the poop?
Yes.
What the heck is going on here?
Well, this person said Dalkeith Oval is the worst she's ever seen when it comes to people leaving doggy doo lying around.
Wow. Well, and this is the opinion of one person, so this is one of the most comprehensive studies we've ever covered.
Oh, this is right up there. This is
big numbers.
Well, this is 60 Minutes Lookout.
What
this
a sample.
Investigative journalism at its best.
But also, I just don't understand the mindset of those people, because I don't want to walk in other people's dog poo. So when my dog does it, I clean it up.
Kimber, the elite making other people clean up their mess is what has made this state great.
Could this be, you're in a more affluent area. Could this be multiple dog households adjusting the figures or the amounts of poop spotted? Because there's a lot of people have multiple dogs in fancy areas. Or is it just that those who have the job of dog walkers get their little four-wheel drive and throw the four dogs in and want to go somewhere prettier?
Yes.
We're going to a better suburb of kids.
I must say, I have, because of course I don't have a dog, but I love swimming down at Peasholm. I love seeing the dogs on the dog beach.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that's very annoying. I mean, when people, most people are pretty good, but, you know, you do see the odd poo and you think, come on, man.
You just end up dodging and weaving when you're out with McGruff?
Well, the thing is too that it also means that he's in that stage where he's sniffing everything, right? Because he's a bit too young to be sterilised just yet.
Yeah.
And so because he's sniffing at everything, I have to pull him away because I never know if he's sniffing other people's dog poo. Like, it's just ludicrous.
Is it a bit of tree or is that a bit of poo?
Oh.
And apparently, you know, the in the more affluent suburbs, they've got a better class of bag.
Oh, yeah.
Better plastic?
So I don't know what they're worried about.
This insider said that they know their doggy bags and those affluent suburbs, they're a bit more silky. Got a bit of a silky texture.
Oh, so it actually moisturises your hands as you pick up the
poo.
Claire, Matt and Kimber's podcast at mix.com.au.
Now, the moment you've been waiting all morning for. It's Captain Paul's joke of the day on Mix 94.5.
Yeah, I want you guys to know I've quit my other job at the helium factory.
Oh, really?
Yeah, look, I just refuse to be spoken to in that tone.
Well, there's another Claire, Matt and Kimber podcast, done and dusted. Don't forget you can catch them on your good old FM radio too, weekdays from 6 a.m. on Perth's Mix 94.5.